could spit in the eyes of fools as they ask her to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Take a look at the low man, beating up the wrong guy. Oh man, wonder if you'll ever know.
Ah, great tune, man. Pete Zimmerman picking the right one, man. That's my favorite Bowie song. Good work. It's a download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, today, artist, musician, pop cultural icon, David Bowie passed away, died of cancer at the age of 69 years old. Heard a lot today. I mean, it seems like, you know, it's my social media feeds have been just overrun with thought pieces and pieces archive and YouTube clips and everyone's favorite David Bowie moment. And I've been looking forward to this all night because my next guest really, I mean, he's an authority on the subject of rock and roll and icons. Joining me now, one of Chicago's premier rock critics. He's half of the syndicated radio show Sound Opinions. He writes for Chicago Public Media, and he's the author of several books on music and rock and roll. Jim DeRogatis. Jim DeRogatis, welcome back to The Download.
Thank you, Justin.
Good to talk to you, man. So, David Bowie, I mean, we've been hearing it all day. There's not much I could say about it because, you know, I have not covered rock music. You have. Let's start with your thoughts when you heard the news this morning.
Well, you know, it was unexpected. I mean, Bowie just released an album Friday. He was celebrating his 69th birthday. He did not tell the world he was sick. Apparently only a select group of people very close to him knew that he was battling cancer. And so, you know, it's a surprise. But, you know, hey, if Lemmy could go just a couple of weeks ago, I think he was right up there with Keith Richards on the list of people who we thought would never die. You know, this happens.
Let's talk about his impact, because obviously I don't even know where to start. I think, you know, Pete and I were talking about earlier in the office, and I talked a little bit at the beginning of the show about, you know, you can really trace his impact to younger generations. But, you know, everybody from, I would say, like mid-30s and up is just, you know, regardless of your background, your race, your ethnicity, whatever it is, people seem to respect David Bowie. He crosses over, and he's one of these guys who's really, you look at as someone who... It's just music.
Well, you know, I think a lot of things are getting obscured in the outpouring of grief from fans. You know, so many of the headlines of what I saw today were David Bowie, innovator. And I think that fundamentally gets the man wrong. Hmm. He was not an innovator. What Bowie's huge talent was seeing, diving deep into the underground, and seeing things that were coming together as nascent ideas in avant-garde music, and then taking those and popularizing them. So to say you're a David Bowie fan, what does it say? Mm-hmm. Are you a fan of the Thin White Duke? Are you a fan of, you know, the soul period, plastic soul, as he called it? Are you a fan of the early Bowie, where he was some sort of a cross between Donovan and Dylan, covering Pink Floyd songs, you know? Are you a fan of the Berlin albums, the three records he made between 77 and 81? Are you a fan of the pop Bowie, Fame, or Let's Dance? You know, he, of course, was rock's most famous chameleon, a master of changes, you know? and you know, he was a very talented actor who portrayed a dozen or more roles over the course of a long career. So, you know, were you with him for all of those different permutations? You know, or did you like some of them but not all of them? You know, do you think you knew the real David Bowie? Right. I don't know. I don't know if anybody ever really did. It's interesting that he played Andy Warhol famously on film, because I think that is the artist in the fine art world who he resembled the most. You know, what was Warhol's talent? Warhol was, in a lot of ways, a cipher, a blank canvas that we projected our own thoughts about art upon. Mm-hmm. You know, as he had his factory of hired workers, you know, taking images from advertising and turning them into art right. on canvases that he may or may not have touched, you know, Bowie was more involved than that to some extent.
Let me ask you, Jim, because, you know, that's a great way to put it. You think about maybe not innovator, but someone who just had an eye for what was happening in avant-garde circles.
Yeah, well, I think he's rock's greatest synthesist, and that is by no means an insult. You know, from time to time when we've discussed Bowie on Sound Opinions, you know, the fans come out with their knives drawn for me. You know, to say he was merely a synthesist, well, you know, Led Zeppelin synthesized the work of Howlin' Wolf and Muddy Waters and a dozen great bluesmen and took it somewhere entirely new. And that's what Bowie did again and again with different avant-garde sounds from the underground.
And you could make an argument that maybe, you know, audiences weren't ready for an underground sound if David Bowie doesn't bring it to them. I mean, that's always been an
issue. I mean, you know, he resurrected the careers of, to name two, you know, Lou Reed and Iggy Pop. You know, at the end of the day, I think Reed and Pop were innovators, you know, without whom modern rock doesn't sound at all the way it sounds today. Mm-hmm. Whereas Bowie, I think, you know, the innovations were not in the music. They were in, you know, challenging sexual politics and in playing these different roles, in bringing fashion so much to the forefront of rock music. You know, I mean, I think that his followers are Madonna and Lady Gaga, you know, and performance artists like that. And again, I think some people hear that as an insult, and I don't mean it that way at all. I think that that's part, you know, his canvas was playing with popular music.
Well, you know,
whereas
we talked about
partner, it. Brian Eno, you know, always yeah. said, the instrument that I play is the recording studio.
Right, right. And that's what I was going to ask. I mean, one thing about David Bowie is he's always surrounded himself with really great collaborators and producers. He's
oh, yeah.
He's got a crew around him. And that. So it's not always just David Bowie. It's that movement, those artists, those recording artists, those producers.
I mean, the list is ridiculous, from Eno and Robert Fripp to, Nile Rodgers, to Luther Vandross. You know, that's Luther Vandross singing backing vocals on Fame, a young Luther before he had a career as a soul R&B superstar, was a backing vocalist. So, you know, Bowie chose talented people and great collaborators and worked with them, and that's a huge talent, you know, in and of itself.
You know, for you as a co-host of Sound Opinions, and you're constantly talking about rock music, where does David Bowie rank? I mean, do you consider him one of the all-time greats? Who, you know, when we've heard so many comparisons, or at least in the same categories, the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and things of that nature. Do you see him at that level, or is he sort of off on a side, sort of, you know, being a trailblazer?
See, you already know the answer to this, and you want to get me in trouble. No, I famously said once when I was trying to get Cott's Goat. You know, and mind you, he's your colleague there in Tribune Tower, and who's on the radio with you? Me, okay? You know, he's too busy for you there, Justin.
No, he did prime time, Jim.
Well, I famously said, yeah, right. I famously said Bowie was a B-level artist. And again, I didn't mean that as an insult. I meant that in terms of innovation, in terms of changing the way rock and roll sounds. Let's leave the fashion and the look and all that stuff out of it. You know, I mean, Bowie took others' innovations and he synthesized them. And so, no, I don't think he's up there with a Lou Reed or a John Lennon, you know, who he collaborated with as well, right? He's merely, and that's merely in quotation marks, right. You know, a brilliant guy who plumbed a lot of different ideas, tried on a lot of different hats, and left us with, you know, 40 great songs. Which is a hell of a legacy.
Yeah, that is a legacy. And I guess
I'd
ask
the question. I think
the
bravest thing in the end of the day, Justin, yeah. is he was fearless in changing. He refused to play the nostalgia card. There were any number of times in his career when he could have done the greatest hits, best of tours, and instead he put out some wacky album. Now, you know, it sometimes they failed. I don't think his records with Tin Machine were very good. Challenged by the alternative movement of the early 90s, he puts out two records where he wants to be Sonic Youth, right? The jury's out, and I'm still really diving deep into the last album, which is a weird, the new album that just came out Friday, which is a weird sort of avant jazz experiment, right? Mm-hmm. You know, but whether or not you think he succeeded with these different roles that he tried, he didn't stop. He didn't become like Robert De Niro, right? So Robert De Niro's first half dozen films are among the best ever made, right? And then De Niro now plays De Niro, or Pacino plays Pacino in everything he's done for the last 20 years, right? Bowie was still daring to do very challenging records that sometimes failed. And I think that's really brave for an artist who's about to hit 70. You don't see that often. Yeah. In that regard, I think he's like Neil Young. He's like Bob Dylan. He's like these artists, you know, or Robert Plant, you know, who keep challenging themselves, and they don't just give you the same thing every 2 years.
Well, it seems, you know, I mean, it seems today, I mean, the outpouring of you know, mourning over David Bowie has been pretty extreme. I mean, people he obviously touched them in some way. You know,
well,
are you surprised by that?
Things,
are you surprised by just, like, how much he is just, like, his death has caused people to prop him up as one of the greatest artists of all time?
Oh, no. Well, I think people always get hyperbolic and lose the legacy in front of them. You know, I always just tell people, go back to the music, right? But I think there's an added component with Bowie. And I have a lot of gay friends who grew up, you know, I'm 50, right? I mean, it was harder in the 80s than it is today, you know, and much harder in the decades before that, right? And I think that for people of different sexuality, you know, gay, bisexual, transgender, Bowie's license to be who you are in the full view of the world, I think that was liberating in ways that I can't even begin to speak to.
Yeah, and you're right. That's a good point. That speaks back to the idea of him being able to be a filter or a synthesis to bring these things to pop culture that otherwise are being done in the shadows or being done underground.
Yeah. Well, look at the Velvet Underground. You know, now Bowie covered, you know, Waiting for the Man and a half dozen Velvet Underground songs. He later produced Lou Reed, Walk on the Wild Side, right? Reed's biggest hit. You know, Lou Reed was bisexual and was writing songs about it in 1966 before anybody else in rock, you know. But Reed then went through a phase, you know, I mean, he was living with a transgender woman for 2 or 3 years and dedicated albums to her and wrote songs about her. But Reed later denied that he'd ever been anything but heterosexual. I think that Bowie, you know, in so famously saying, "I am bisexual," in 1970-71, you know, at a time when even more daring artists like Lou Reed were not actually doing that, that was liberating, and I think that meant a lot to people, and I think that's a lot of what you're seeing coming out, too. And I think people can't even articulate it as well. You know, he collaborated with Freddie Mercury of Queen, too, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and it always amazes me that, you know, all the jocks I went to high school with who were huge Queen fans, you know, until Freddie Mercury died of AIDS, nobody knew Freddie Mercury was gay. It was in the name of the band. It was called Queen, you know what I mean? But Mercury was not out, you know, and yet Bowie was.
Jim DeRogatis, one half of the popular duo Sound Opinions, which you can hear on WBEZ here in town, syndicated all over the country. He also writes a blog for Chicago Public Media. You can find him everywhere. He's written a million books. He's Jim DeRogatis. He's one of Chicago's treasures. Jim, thanks for joining me tonight.
Yeah, sure, Justin. You bet.